You're listening to On the Vine, a podcast about Ivy League basketball, brought to you by IvyHoopsOnline.com.
It is a little bit after 7 o'clock on the East Coast, and that means it's time for On the Vine, a podcast about Ivy League basketball, brought to you by the folks at IvyHoopsOnline.com. I am your host, Peter Andrews. We're back after a long layoff for the entirety of the... I would call it the preseason, in a sense, the non-conference play here in the Ivy League. We are now back, and things are rolling right along. We've decided to come to you right before tonight's games, which kick off at 8 o'clock. Both Yale and Brown are the traveling parties, and they'll be taking on Princeton and Penn. So we have a robust panel, as always, for you, including one of our panelists is at the game. So this is very special, just special all around. I'd like to welcome, he missed the first episode this year, our editor-in-chief, Mike Tony. Mike, how are you?
Good. It's Friday the 13th, Peter, but I'm feeling lucky, y'all. That's all I need.
Well, you had like 8 months to come up with that line, so well done. we'd like to welcome back, as always, our writer who covers, among other places, Penn and Cornell, Rob Brown. Rob, how are you?
Hey, good, Peter. Good to see you. Good to see Mike and George's voice. It's excellent. Glad to be back.
That's right. George's voice we have on the line from Press Row and Jadwin Gymnasium. We have the Toothless Tiger himself, George Clark, who's covering tonight's game. We've looped him in on the phone. George, how's it going?
It's going well tonight. I'm very happy to be with all of you people. I'm actually speaking to you from a restroom off the court in Jadwin. It's the quietest spot I could find.
Well, that's
right now
that's
the
good.
Princeton women are battling the Brown women, and Brown has a narrow 4-point lead after three quarters. It's a good ballgame.
Ooh. Well, sorry to tear you away from it, but we will appreciate your insights on the podcast. And actually, because you're live on scene and they also played last weekend and the league favorites, let's start with the Tigers, who last weekend opened the Ivy League season against Penn. A hard-fought game, big comeback by Penn down the stretch. Princeton, just enough firepower to improve to 1-0 on the league. Penn drops to 0-1. So let's start with George. Your thoughts on last week's game. Were you there? What was the atmosphere like? What did you take away from that one?
I was here. It was a typical Penn-Princeton atmosphere. However, the crowd was diminished somewhat by the onset of some very foul weather here in central New Jersey. But nevertheless, it was a spirited crowd, and it's always a big rivalry game. Penn is coming back, and I hope they're all the way back tonight against Yale. It was the experience factor last week. We, as you all know, we have a relatively old ball club, lots of seniors, and they did not panic down the stretch when Penn came back. Never got the lead, but made up a 21-point deficit in about 7 minutes. Princeton held on, finally solved the zone, and made some free throws at the end, but it was a very, very good game for both teams.
Rob, what was your takeaway?
You know, interestingly, as I was writing, Steve Donahue was mentioning the similarities between the two teams, but the biggest difference last year, and I guess it played out on Saturday, was the ability to close at the end, and Penn's not there yet. They're much better than last year, but they're still not ready to take that next step. You know, I thought Penn did a great job on the perimeter. I think Princeton was 3 out of 19. To Princeton's credit, they found other ways to score, and Devin Kennedy was tremendous, as always. Penn got hot in the second half. They hit 7 of 8 three-pointers at one point to close up that 21-point gap. But you know, once it came down to the last 7 minutes, turnovers, fouls, missed shots, they just weren't ready at that point to grow. But I think they just to grow. But I think they showed themselves to be that fourth team in the Ivy League, or at least a team within the top four.
Yeah,
well, certainly. I agree with that. And Michael, I'm sure you will too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Penn's defense is really good. This is a team that defends the paint well. They force turnovers. They've got solid defensive footwork in the perimeter. And, you know, they held a potentially explosive Princeton offense, even sans Brace and Caruso, to 61 points and sub 35% shooting. That's impressive. You know, you do that performance a disservice when you only shoot 11 for 20 from the foul line and shoot under 40% from two-point range. But all in all, this is a team that's on an upswing, and, you know, that's all you can ask for from a early season Penn-Princeton battle. Princeton's going to have a tough time beating this Penn team three times in one season if that's what they are ultimately required to have to do.
Well, I certainly agree with that. You can't
let's not get ahead of ourselves about who's going to beat the Palestra, but
Hashtag path to the Palestra, Peter. Hey, George, are they flushing Brown down where you are?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not yet.
It's a little bit of scatological humor for you.
Everyone has always said, you know, that on the Vine podcast, they have a lot of good basketball analysis, but what they're really missing is poop jokes.
Hey, so I've had a whole off season to correct that, and I'm going to correct that, Peter.
So, George, Brown tonight, Yale tomorrow, obviously the big game tomorrow because Yale presents a tougher task. How do you think the weekend's going to play out for the Tigers?
Brown is by no means a pushover. I believe they've won more games already than they did the entire season last year, although admittedly the schedule is one of the weakest in Division I. But they score 77 points a game. They've been to the free throw line over 400 times. I think that's twice what Princeton has at this point. I think they have the highest national rate for getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Princeton certainly cannot look past this ball club. I doubt that they are looking past them, but they could get in a track meet and not have a lot left in the tank for tomorrow. So it's a scary weekend. Of course, it's a scarier weekend for Yale. They have to go on the road and play a rising Penn team and hopefully a team at its peak here tomorrow night. So I don't think it's going to be an easy weekend no matter what. But with the tournament, anybody can go 1-1 on these weekends and not lose a lot of ground. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I will just before we keep talking about sort of this actual analysis of the weekend, the overarching story of this regular season is going to be how the tournament changes things, how the tournament makes this season different from those that came before, how it affects the way the teams play, and I don't necessarily think you're going to see a different level of competitiveness from the players or the coaches, but I do wonder if the atmosphere will be any different. There is a sense in which, you know, there will be a team that's probably something like 8-6 that makes the four-game tournament at the Palestra. There will be, and even, you know, the three teams that are kind of, if you want to divide it into a top three right now, they're going to be playing in Philadelphia on the home court of another Ivy League school that might be the fourth seed. So it's not even like there's home field really to play for. There's no sort of intrinsic advantage to being, other than to get that regular season title. So I guess the question, we're only one game in, George, others, do you see this as something that's changed already? Or because we're not approaching this weekend with the same, it doesn't feel like it's the same do or die with every shot right now.
That's true. The tournament is first and foremost something I think all the kids in the league really wanted to have. They grow up on postseason basketball. That's what everybody points to in the basketball season for years now, especially since television has become so important to the NCAA. So these kids want to play postseason basketball. That's what they point to. And I don't think it's going to, as Peter, your observation is right on the money. The competitive aspect of these kids as they play the games is not going to be affected. But what is nice to know is that every game is not do or die as it used to be in this league. And games, regular season games are going to have more relevance much deeper into the regular season than they ever have because you're looking for that fourth spot. I have a question that I don't know how it will be resolved, but what happens if two teams have the same record tied for the fourth spot? How is that tiebreaker established?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if it's head-to-head. I don't know if it's non-conference record. It hasn't been spelled out yet.
Well, I haven't seen it anywhere, and I haven't been able to find the answer, and I just wonder if it's a situation they haven't foreseen. I can't imagine that's the case, but I just wonder how will a tie be resolved?
Yeah.
And it's very feasible that that could happen.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess it could also happen with position within the top four teams.
There must be a tournament manual somewhere. I just haven't seen it.
Go ahead, Peter. They just put out the website for the tournament, and it's got a lot of coming soon, so I don't really know much more than that.
Well, Robin Harris, the executive director of the league, is attending tonight's game, so I'll just seek her out and ask her.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my recommendation, is I think you should do some investigative journalism, which is, after all, what this site is known for, and get us a Pulitzer.
I'll certainly try.
So let's I want to get some thoughts about the where Penn comes into the weekend. So Mike and Rob, obviously a bit of a tough loss. Penn showed some fight. They have the tough one tonight against the Bulldogs, and then the slightly less tough one against Brown. What do you consider a victory for? Is 1-1 good enough on their home floor, or do they really need to win both these games?
Honestly, I'm thinking that for Penn, if you're looking at 7-7 or 8-6 to make that fourth spot, the key is really dealing with the lower four teams and making sure that you win those games. So for me, I mean, winning two would be fantastic, and I think Mike James did some of the math. If Penn sweeps this weekend, their probability of being in the tournament goes up into the high 80s in terms of percentage. But realistically, just holding court against Brown should be a good weekend for Penn. I think it's going to be tough. Yale's going to be tough. They're a little bit better than Yale defensively, but Yale is still a very good defensive team, and they're better than Penn offensively. So I think Penn is going to have their hands. It's going to be a tough game because Yale is, like Princeton, very disciplined. Brown is going to be a typical Brown game. It's going to be up and down the court. Hopefully Penn, conserves some energy tonight and, is able to use their bench tomorrow. But I feel pretty confident that as good as Brown is offensively, their defense is rather suspect, and Penn will be able to take advantage of that, both from inside and outside. I think Howard, Broder, and Foreman will really have a nice game tomorrow. Tonight, is kind of gravy if it happens.
So is it? It's Broder, not how do you pronounce? I thought it was Broder. Like the Devils. Broder.
No, too. No. His dad actually put a post on on IHO and said it's Brodeur like motor.
Brodeur like the old Devil's stalwart.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Nope. He's not a New Jersey guy. He's a Philly guy. That's the easiest way I remember it. Yeah. Brodeur like motor. Yep. Every time I see him in the paint, I think of his dad's mantra there. Yeah, Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize. I'm sorry. He might as well won the Pulitzer. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I think Courtney Banghart had an interesting quote after Princeton lost to Penn on the women's side. She said that she had never been more unnervous before a Penn-Princeton game before, because there is a tournament now that lessens the impact that each game and each weekend have. So to answer your question directly, Peter, I don't think 1-1 is good enough. You know, they don't have to go 2-0. As Rob said, that would be a nice bonus. I do think the Yale at Penn matchup is one of the most intriguing regular season matchups we've had in a long time, because you've got two perceived upper tier squads that are still very, very young. I mean, the composition of both rosters is really young, and yet there are two outstanding defenses. Yale is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, and will that performance travel or not? There's a lot of storylines, and all the mathematicians out there are putting it at basically a 50-50 split, with maybe Penn actually having a slight edge. But it could come down to free throws, and Penn better hope it doesn't.
Michael, for what it's worth, Las Vegas has installed the Quakers as a slight favorite at home, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, KenPom has them at, I think, 55%, which is, for KenPom, that's a virtual toss-up. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting. You've got Mia Uni and A.J. Brodeur and you've got a battle of the freshmen there. It's going to be a fantastic thing, but not quite as special as it might have been if there wasn't a tournament that would have basically eliminated Penn after an 0-2 league start. You know, it's hard to see either of these teams going 0-2. Personally, I find it a little bit harder to see Yale do that.
You know, by this time on Sunday, we will certainly have our answer to that question. Big weekend in the Delaware Valley there. And they're not the only ones in action. There is one sort of outlier game this weekend, obviously. So Harvard and Dartmouth, we'll talk about that, their game last week a little bit, but they have the weekend off. And the series, the C's, the travel partners, Columbia and Cornell, will face off in Ithaca on Saturday. A big game, projected to be another very tight matchup. Obviously, the Big Red have the advantage of being at home in Newman. Columbia has to make a long trip. The Lions coming in off they kind of a tough December. A couple games that didn't quite go their way at the end, and I'll touch on that in a little bit once I get everyone else's input, because I did see them in action for the first time this year. But it should be a really interesting game, especially when you consider that if you project the first half of the season out, it does appear to be kind of a clear top four and a clear bottom four. There is a lot of churn after Harvard, Yale, and Princeton that I think one of these teams could make a run, get hot, and make the tournament. So what are we looking for in Ithaca this weekend, fellas?
I think you're looking for there's one trend that the Cornell Athletics actually pointed out or admitted, whatever verb you want to use, on their game preview, that Cornell hasn't won an Ivy opener in the last 6 years. So you'd have to go back to the Donahue era for their last opener win. And so that would be a nice way to establish a new beginning, some early season momentum for the Brian Earle era. If and this is and this and it's an extremely winnable game. It's another toss-up. We've got a couple toss-ups this weekend, and that's certainly one of them. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different look, as Rob will attest. You've got Stone Gettings in the post, one of the best post players in the conference. It's gonna be a very interesting interesting matchup, because even though Cornell's got the same personnel as last year, it's a different wrinkle team. I mean, they play slower now. They play I'd say substantially slower. And obviously, as Peter would attest, Columbia is a totally different team, totally different regime there. So it's going to be, I think this is the toughest game to pick. I can't remember a game last season that was this tough to pick, honestly. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cornell's probably favored by a little bit, but it's a game. And I think going back to the tournament aspect of it, you know, Columbia, you're the team that thinks the fifth place team. You really have to lock in these two wins this Saturday and next Saturday. You know, splitting with Cornell is going to put them in a bit of a hole, I think. With that said, an interesting non-conference for Cornell. They're kind of on Cornell 3.0 at this point. They started out the season with three front court starters. David Onora had a mystery illness after the first game. He has not been back. So they went to three guards and two forwards. Then Donovan Wright left the team for personal reasons. So for the last several games, they're at four guards and one forward. And they're really with they're left with Stone Gettings and Josh Warren, both two really nice players. I think both doing better than expected this year. But that's it. You know, they're really, really short in the front court. You know, it's a different style. Yeah, it's more of a three-point shooting team, less pressure on offense and defense. They don't really create turnovers. They don't create steals. They're a little bit more disciplined, I guess, trying to morph themselves into a Princeton-like team within the next couple of years. Matt Morgan's having an excellent season again. Robert Hatter, the good and bad. You know, he puts up points, but he turns the ball over. You know, I'm sure Peter's well aware of that. Jojo Fallis has been pushed into the starting lineup. Numerically, statistically, his numbers are basically the same, even though his minutes are doubled. Where I think they stand a good chance this weekend is if they are more efficient in the three-pointers, if Troy Whiteside and Will Bathurst, who've had more time to play, if they're hot, then, you know, things look good for them.
George?
I agree with Michael in that this is a very, very difficult game to analyze and to determine. To me, I'm sentimentally pulling, of course, for Brian Earl, who I understand has been very well received in the Ithaca community. They're very excited about their prospects going forward. When he gets his players in place, I think you'll see the fortunes of the Big Red turn around. It might take a while. Tonight's game, Gettings and Warren have really played well. I had an opportunity to see them play this year, although not in the last several weeks, so I'm not sure how things are going currently. Morgan was hurt, but now is back. To me, if he gets hot as he can, if it's a tough game, close game, I think he will be the deciding factor in the end, because he's very, very hard to contain when he gets hot. And I think this is the opportunity for him, their home opener for a first-year coach. I think I'm looking for them to rise to the occasion and ride Morgan's back to victory. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, I think just switching to kind of talk about the Columbia side a little bit, Columbia is still a team that's trying to figure out exactly what their best rotation is. They have, you know, 9 or 10 different guys who've played pretty significant minutes. I think the big one that people were not necessarily expecting to come in and really show you something is Mike Smith, who is the rookie coming in from Illinois. He's only about 5'10" tall, but the guy... So I was in attendance at the Albany game about 2 weeks ago, you know, I was impressed by Mike Smith a lot. He's a guy who can push the ball up the floor. He's very pesky on defense for his size. He is able to get shots off. He's not afraid to take shots. And he has a really good court vision. His passes have a lot of pace to them. He brings a really different dimension to the light blue that you have not seen as much in the last couple years. The issue with them is a little bit more that the front court is still kind of a mess. So you have Jeff Kobe, you have Patrick Tape, who has been shown a lot in limited minutes, but someone who's still really getting used to the pace of the college game. He's a freshman from North Carolina, came from a small league. Lucas Meisner has been injured. He hasn't played in about a month, so not sure what his availability will be. And then you're counting on guys like outside Petrasek, who's been consistent as always. You know, Chris McComber is very hit or miss, and I will give a shout out to Connor Voss, who's having the best season of his 4-year career. The guy's finally figured out what to do with his 7-foot-1 frame, and it's like just stand there with your arms up. And he has really evolved as a post player. So look, I think for Columbia, if Smith gets hot, if he's able to get Nate Hickman into the game, Hickman, who the game I was in attendance at, threw down one of the greatest dunks in Ivy League history, which, you know, it's tough to even tell from the highlight, but if you're watching just like a boring game of like two mid-major conferences going at each other, that's like 2 days after Christmas, and then a guy pulls that jump out of his, the stadium exploded. So a lot of it for Columbia is they get Hickman involved, Petrasek plays well, they're probably going to win this game. But the front court is where I'm paying attention to as far as what's going to happen as we move into the rest of the league season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at tomorrow's game, it's certainly the front court is a big place where they could take advantage. You know, between Petrasek and Kobe, they should be able to handle that. And I think statistically, Columbia is better in almost every metric than Cornell. It's just, you know, if they can make sure they put the ball in the hole. You know, I think it was a couple years ago where Matt Olow had a real, real tough stretch, and Cornell was able to take advantage of that. I think Columbia still won the game, but it was rather tough. But then I think there was the following game, you know, Columbia was able to pound its three-pointers and it wasn't even close. So I think you're going to have a similar kind of idea tomorrow. If they can dominate in the front and they can do, you know, well enough in the back, then it should be good for them.
Well, Columbia has not lost a league game to anyone other than Princeton or Yale since 2015, so we'll see if how long they can keep that streak rolling. So let's wrap up with just I want to ask one question to each of you, and then why don't we wrap up, because the games are starting pretty soon. We got to get George on press row and out of this bathroom where hopefully no one is finding him unbelievably creepy.
I don't think I can stand it here much longer.
All right, so let's. I want everyone to say what one thing that we haven't touched on so far that you are looking at this weekend, or that you think is going to be sort of critical coming out of these five games. Let's start with Mike, and I'm gonna give George time to think about it.
Yeah, George deserves that where he is right now. He can let that marinate a little longer. I'm looking at Darnell Foreman. I think he's, when you look at his assist to turnover ratio the last couple games, it's been pretty good. I think he's, you know, he's evolving into a really good point man for this offense. And I think that, you know, if Penn wins this game, it's going to be good decision making from the outside in. You know, how it's not a matter of whether you're going to feed Broder in the post, but how. And so I guess I'm using Darnell Foreman really here as kind of a stand-in for the entire Penn backcourt. You know, this is a huge game for Penn. It's time to start winning some of these games, upper-tier games, from the red and blue perspective. It's it's getting to the point now where it's not enough to take Princeton to the wire. It's not enough to take Yale to the wire. Eventually, you've got to bring it home. And I think the way you do that is, you keep the 3-point shooting. You've got to get it up somewhere around at least 30 to 35%. They did that at Princeton, but I'm starting to think that, again, not to harp on it, but the free throw line is a little. It's seeming to be more of a litmus test for this team than the 3-point line is. But ultimately, it's going to come down to turnovers. This Yale squad is a very good defensive team. They wear you down, as all James Jones teams do, by attrition, by offensive rebounding, and this year more of a slower pace and shooting more than anything else. It's kind of an interesting couple there with the shooting and the pace. But I'm looking at the Penn backcourt to win this game. It's going to be a close one. It's ultimately, I feel like Brodeur is more of a known factor in the backcourt. Whether you look at the assist to turnover and the shooting, is more of an unknown. And I think that starts with Darnell Foreman, and it goes from there. So that's what I'm looking at.
Let me just observe before we go on to Rob that it's not actually an ironclad rule that Penn has to win these games, nor that other people want Penn to win these games. Just want to remind you that I don't want to see Penn do any of those things. It'd be perfectly fine for me if they kept losing it right in the last second. So let's just remember that.
Well, may I remind you that Joe Biden is with us now.
No, Joe Biden will always be in my heart. Forever. Rob, what are you looking at this weekend?
For a second here, I'll go to Penn. Just saying, I'd like Steve Donohue to kind of settle on a 5-man rotation. 3/5 of that is set. I'd like to see him give the ball to Darnell Foreman at the point. He may not be the most dynamic playmaker, but he is the most fearless guy on the team, and he's going to drive the lane. But their biggest issue is their 2-guard. They are a team that's designed to hit the 3-pointer, but there's not a lot of consistency. So I'd like to see if Ryan Bentley, who's just kind of emerged over the last 3 games, can kind of, improve or, just kind of take that job and hit the 3-pointers. Because I think, like Mike said, the backcourt is going to be a big key to these games. For Yale, I guess an interesting thing will be what happens tomorrow night at Princeton. A lot of them, it's going to be their first Ivy League game and also the first time at Jadwin, which is a really difficult place to play. And you could see how that kind of threw Penn over the first 20 minutes last week. If they struggle, it's another team that's designed for the 3-pointer. If they struggle, that's going to be tough. They're going to have to dig themselves out of a hole like Penn, and that may just be too difficult. On the flip side, for Princeton, what I'm looking at is seeing them close out games. They have struggled so often through last week and the non-conference. They let teams back in, and they could have just pushed Penn out last week. And, it'll be interesting to see if Yale struggles early, what will they do? In terms of, the C's, I don't really, I think both of them are kind of playing with a little house money right now. I think the pressure's off, and they're busy just trying to figure themselves out. And, So I don't think there's any kind of surprise, pressure at this moment.
Rob, George, what are you looking at this weekend?
I'm looking at the way Brodeur handles his frustration. Michael thinks that his presence is not really crucial to the Yale game, and I disagree with that. He kind of struggled here last week, and I don't think that they can afford to have him struggle to that degree and be successful. I think Mike's analysis and Rob, as far as Penn's backcourt is concerned, is right on the money, but Brodeur has to be more of a factor than he was last week if Penn is going to be successful going forward. And of course, that was only his first Ivy League game. He had had a very good out-of-conference record personally, and frankly, I thought he would be more of a factor than he was. So I'm looking for him to rebound. And if he does, I think that's a very, very good sign for Penn going forward. As far as Princeton is concerned, if we get another injury to a frontline player, it's going to be very, very difficult. I hate to look at a negative, but avoiding injury at this point is a very big thing for the Tigers.
Yeah, and certainly injury not something you want to disappoint. You know, it's always disappointing when you don't get to see players play at their potential. So hopefully Princeton can avoid that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Broder's definitely going to be crucial. I never meant to indicate that. I just think that if you're looking at the game from trying to look at it from a more in-depth perspective, I think Broder is the obvious factor, but the backcourt is the one that I think is going to maybe more invisibly drive the force of the game down the stretch. You know, kind of like Adam Smith and capitalism. It's going to be that sort of thing.
References out the wazoo quick from Mike tonight.
just real quick, just because we really haven't touched much on Brown, I think, for me personally, I think this is a real make-or-break year for Mike Martin there. It's great when you're scoring almost 80 points a game and their games are fun to watch, but eventually, you know, with the talent they've got, you've got to start winning and you've got to start playing some defense. And I think it would be really helpful for him and the team if they can split this weekend and they can make some kind of run. I think that'll be really helpful for his future at the school. And then I guess if you look at someone who's not playing, like Dartmouth, it's trying to figure out starting next week, are they the 0-9 team? Are they that team that was 3 in a row? What's going on with Evan Boudreau? You know, he's still playing great, but his numbers are a little bit down this year. So they've got some stuff to work out, but they've at least got another week to figure it out.
Yeah, and we will definitely get to those guys when league play really begins to blossom next week. All right, I think we'll leave it there. We will be back, I want to say, on Wednesday next week. But we have not, Mike and I will figure it out, but plan on Wednesday for the time being. And we'll cover everything for this weekend and get you set for the weekend ahead. Good show as always. I especially want to thank George Clark for being the first ever phone-in guest, and definitely the first ever phone-in guest from a live venue, and very definitely the first ever phone-in guest from a live venue who spent the entire time in the bathroom. George, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Peter. I do want to mention one thing. Princeton played in Hawaii, as you recall, a month or so ago. And
I do.
Played Cal while we were there, and a photograph appeared on the Princeton Athletic Department website that featured Devin Kennedy going against Grant Mullins. I sent that photograph to Michael, and I thought of you immediately, and I hope he can send it on to you if you haven't seen it yet, but it was really a nice picture of those two kids going against each other, and it brought back a lot of really good memories to me from some of our battles with Mullins when he was in New York.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but Grant Mullins has actually been a very pleasant surprise for Cal fans think of him as a surprise. He's actually doing exactly what I would have anticipated, but he's really heated up down the stretch in Big 12 play. For those of you who are still Grant Mullins fanboys, you can go on YouTube. He had a really excellent four-minute interview with Bill Walton after their game last week. Bill Walton, quite a character, and is able to get a lot of information out of Grant. So please go check that out. So, George, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you very much, Rob Brown, as always. And thank you to...
Good night, and thanks very much.
And thank you to Mike Tony, the Generalissimo of IHO.
George, I'm wearing an orange shirt right now. You're welcome.
George hung up. He does not like to hang out for the very last time.
No, well, I mean, he's in a bathroom. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike. And I've been Peter Andrews. Thanks for listening to IvyHoopsOnline.com's podcast on the Vine. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the basketball.